Happy Labor Day, everyone. This is Camille Forte, and I'm bringing to you some interesting thoughts for Labor Day weekend that I would venture to say could improve 100% of your performance, or it could lose you 20%. I'll explain that in a minute, but first let me announce that I have with me, as always, the incredibly intelligent... Yeah, I'm getting to it. The incredibly intelligent, the man with 1,000 random statistics always on hand, the very, very creative Michael.
Optimus Prime.
Oh, Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime this week. Okay. I'm not even going to go into why I'm not surprised. Anyway, so if you're someone who's heard several of my podcasts or blogs or, you know, seen my website, you know, one of my Camille-isms, as I call them, is if you cannot put yourself in the perspective of your target customer or client, you will never again be a great marketer. You may be sick of hearing me say this, but I'm about to explain to you why this weekend, Labor Day weekend, it applies more than any other time of the year, and what's going to happen, why this weekend is so pivotal. It is not just an outdated rule that you can't wear white after Labor Day, which is hogwash. It is not just, you know, the unofficial end of summer. It's a transition that affects a lot of people. And what that means is that if you are not in the perspective of those people, then you may not connect with them. And that applies to everything from events at your brick and mortar location, to how you treat your employees, to what ads may resonate with people and which don't. You know, everything's about to get shaken up. Why? What is this you're talking about? Well, in a nutshell, okay, and you know, a lot of sources, a lot of facts, from the National Institute of Health to Psychology Today, have different numbers, but the nutshell version of it is this. About 20% of the United States is about to experience something called seasonal affective disorder, or SADS. It's not a big deal. A lot of people get it every year. 20% more of Americans will have it in a lesser form known as the winter blues. And yes, believe it or not, winter blues is actually a legit psychological term. Now, what this means is that you have an opportunity to either have a first mover advantage if you incorporate this into your marketing strategy, or you can ignore it, watch performance plummet a little bit for third quarter and fourth quarter. So make the smart choice. And Mike, you seem to be chomping at the bit here.
Oh, Optimus Prime.
Thank you.
It is shown that 23% of employees that work in a retail environment and 37% that work in an office environment are affected by seasonal disorder. Of those percentages, 83% and 84% respectively for retail and for office work, you know, blue collar and white collar, either call in sick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or use personal days, not because that they have something else to do or they're legitimately ill, but because they are affected by the season.
Thank you, Optimus.
And here's another interesting statistic. This also affects up to 19% of downed productivity for office environments and up to 53% in a retail or restaurant environment because employees are calling in sick or they're not motivated enough to work.
I am so glad that you brought that up because one of the things that I wanted to get across in this podcast is that this isn't just about your outward marketing strategy, it's also about your internal organization. And guess what? There is something called internal marketing. If you never heard of it before, congratulations. Now you have, now you can act on it. You know, knowing is half the battle. Anyway, sadly, I think I'm aging myself by saying that knowing is half the battle. I think most people aren't, you know.
G.I. Joe says that.
Yeah, I know that, but, you know.
Now they know that. And knowing's half the battle.
Well, some of the younger folk out there. Anyway, so let me give you a few examples. You know, if you are a manager of any type in any type of office environment, whether it's a clothing store, whether it's a company and you've got people in offices and cubicles, and whether it's a call center, it doesn't matter. The fact is that humans are humans. And they're affected by this very heavily. And you can either use this to your advantage or you can suffer the consequences. Let me give you a couple examples. If you were to take the time to look up, for example, what are the actual symptoms of SADS or seasonal affective disorder or the winter blues, you would know that insomnia is a big problem. So maybe the schedule on which you're running your ads, whether they're Facebook ads or Google AdWords, they may be performing differently at different hours. Check your performance and A/B test. There are a lot of people who are more sensitive to social rejection. So start, you know, infusing into your marketing ideas a sense of inclusion. If you have a brick and mortar, this is a great time to host some events at your store. Bring in some cheese. If it's legal wherever you are, bring in some wine and some non-alcoholic. And bring people in. Make them feel warm and fuzzy, both literally and figuratively. You know, have people come together. And that will not only bond them with that feeling of not feeling alone, it also bonds them with your brand at the same time. At the office, order lunch for people. I have a personal experience with this. I can tell you that I worked with a company that would order lunch for people all the time. You're right there, Optimus? All right. You know, they would order lunch all the time, but there is a very clear hierarchy of who is valued and when based on who got lunch ordered. And it was, you know, if you have a thick skin, you can kind of laugh about it and be like, you know, that's fine. I can get my own sandwich. But if you're really looking to raise the morale of your team, order in a few pizzas and make sure that even if somebody doesn't want to eat the pizza, make sure, go up to them and say, hey, did you know we have pizza? You know, we'd love to have you. Oh, you don't want any? Okay, that's fine. But you're making them feel included. This is both an internal and an external thing. Your social media, for example, you know, the four main types, the inspirational, motivational, the escapist, the utilitarian types of content for social media. Well, obviously, because SADS includes feelings of the blues, depression, you might want to increase your ratio of inspirational and motivational content. Optimus,
mm-hmm.
You seem,
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
I have some pointers for office work, like how to keep morale up, but I'll wait till you finish.
Actually, no, I'd like you to jump in because Optimus Prime here actually has a lot of experience when it comes to leading in-office teams, whereas I tend to be more of the, you know, the remote and virtual aspect of modern day living. So talk to us about the offices.
Okay, so for office employees, you know, for those that work in an office, call center, whatever the case may be.
Store, restaurant.
Yeah, well, actually, it's two different parts to this, which is interesting. Okay. My advice is to hold a weekly competition. For an example, you know, once a week, you know, set your employees a time aside to do something funny, like go to the copy machine and, you know, print out a page that's an adult coloring book or something and have each person color it. And then on Friday, everyone just votes, you know, for the best colored picture and somebody wins like a $5 Starbucks card or something.
Mm.
You know, it keeps it fun. Fridays for office employees, if you're going to order pizza, pizza's kind of the universal thing. You always want to order a cheese pizza, a meat lover's, and a vegetarian's lover's. This kind of covers all spectrums from vegetarians to people that are kosher and for your standard meat eaters and so forth. This way, no one feels neglected to say, oh, I can't eat this because, you know, they can't eat it because of dietary or religious reasons or whatever the case may be. But if you have someone that's a rare person that is lactose intolerant, you may say to them, like, hey, we're ordering pizza. Do you want a salad instead? This doesn't make them feel excluded because this does contribute to to that. Another thing to do is, depending on the office itself, maybe possibly bring in donuts, possibly cookies, you know, things. You'll be surprised how far your productivity goes when it's a happier office environment. I tend to tell people not to bring in potlucks because people are very conscious about that.
Yeah.
You know, food allergies, you know, different types of kosher reasons. That's why pizza is more the universal thing. For those that have a brick and mortar and like retail, like restaurants and so forth, have a competition such as how many people could get a smiley face on their receipt when somebody signs a credit card receipt, and the person at the end of the week, you know, gets a gift card or, you know, gets something.
Remember that that hot dog place? It was a restaurant that had all hot dogs, like some of the most exotic.
Cool Dog Cafe.
Some of the most exotic hot dogs. The Cool Dog Cafe. Love that place. And they had an end of summer contest, I think it was, for new hot dogs to put on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a tremendous response.
Yes, I mean, office environments when I worked in, you know, the private sector is the Friday to have like feel good Friday. Like if your office hours are 8 to 5, maybe from 4:30 to 5 o'clock, or even from 5 to 5:30, sometimes 6, you could do is have like a little mini party where, you know, there's soft drinks and people could wind down before they go home. This actually helps build morale. This helps people to say, okay, I'm not excluded. And for those that suffer from SADS and, you know, winter blues, the depression, and believe me, when you have a depressed employee, it shows in their work, it shows in their attitude, their mood.
It shows in an empty chair when they're calling out more than any other time of the year.
And this also affects them because all of a sudden they may... This becomes a psychological issue, and I don't want to discuss this in this podcast. They start to fall in love with their depression.
Yeah, it becomes a downward spiral. Let's face it, that's no news. I mean, we all know depression can be a downward spiral.
And you can't save the world. You know, you can't save the world, but as long as you have an employee there that makes them feel welcomed and happy, even though you're in the middle of your rush season or your holiday shopping season or whatever the case may be, a productive employee is a happy employee, and a happy employee is a productive employee. So those are some little tips here and there. I'll encourage Camille when she writes this blog, writes the blog, to add some of these tips.
And, you know, there are a lot of things you can do. This doesn't have to cost you a dime. It can be a lot of fun from wear your pajamas to work day. It doesn't have to be national bring your pet to work day for you to say, hey, on the 20th of September, you know, everyone bring your pets in. We're going to have a little pet pageant or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of little things that you can do to brighten people's moods. Because remember, especially if you're anywhere near our area in the Northeast, you know, it's a drastic change. You go from being in the summer where at 8 o'clock p.m. the sun is still shining bright to the fall and winter where by the time you leave the office and get into your car, it's dark out.
Yes. One thing that I always suggested when I was a management many years ago, and I would every Friday send out on a piece of paper, not email, send a piece of paper on my team and say, it's Feel Good Friday. What do you feel good about this Friday? Other than leaving work and going to the weekend. And it made people, like, honestly reevaluate what they were doing for the weekend. And I always, even if you have a problematic employee, you could turn a problematic employee around, even though their productivity is not high, because they may be suffering from this. And if you would neglect it, even though you're not there to, you know, psychoanalyze them, they're there to do their job. But do you want an employee that is battling emotional issues and it's struggling in their work? Or would you rather take 2 minutes aside and say, hey, man, I hope you're doing okay. You know, if you want to take a quick little break, or, you know, you want to maybe listen to music at your desk because, you know, you're an email specialist or whatever the case, go right ahead. You'll be surprised. All of a sudden, that employee that doesn't want to come to work because they're depressed or because of this, you know, sads and, I mean, and, you know, winter blues, all of a sudden it looks forward to coming to work, and it's going to show in their work.
And not only that, remember that this influences everything with your outward marketing, not outbound marketing, outward marketing. So incorporate this into your marketing strategies. Like I said, see how ads are performing differently. Think about your ad content. Is it including... yes, Optimus.
Also, one other tip that was that I suggested was for companies that do a lot of social media campaigns, do seasonal things. So, for example, for September, you know, have a contest amongst your customers to show the biggest pride for their favorite NFL team.
There you go.
October, the best costume contest, you know, best kids costume contest. November, like the best, you know, Thanksgiving decorations. And for Christmas, you know, the best holiday, you know, keep it, you know, a PC, the best holiday decoration for a home. And, you know, and make it, you know, get, you know, this is how you get people engaged on during social media outside of doing your ad campaigns.
Another thing that I was going to mention is that when it comes to networking, you know, maybe you have some leads that have gone cold, or there have been people that you've been meaning to reach out and engage with because they could be a fabulous strategic partner. Now's a great time to reach out to them because of that feeling of autumn loneliness, you know, that a lot of people experience. They're going to be more likely to be receptive to you than they would any other time of the year. With that, I'm also going to give you a word of caution. If you reach out to someone for the purposes of networking, whether it's a handwritten note, whether it's an email, whether it's your email marketing strategy, don't screw up the personalization, because if they see that this is just a cut and paste, or I should say more of a mail merge type thing, then it could actually backfire, you know, and you could end up making them feel like they're just, you know, an ID number on your email list. And you don't want to do that. So make sure that everything seems genuine.
Camille, a statistic for this. It takes 9.3 seconds to send a mass email to some, you know, to a group of people with the same message, where it takes 14 seconds to personalize an email to that one person. So you have to ask yourself the question, can I afford to lose a potential customer based on 5 seconds of my day?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not rocket science, folks, but it's something that we don't think about. And I'm doing this sort of in order because it is Labor Day weekend, and these are things that you literally need to be thinking about tomorrow morning when you start your day, when you go back to the office. take these thoughts with you about how you can do everything from engaging your customers better to increasing the productivity of your workplace during the autumn season, because it cannot hurt. It can only help. It can only boost your numbers. If you ignore it, it can backfire, and 20% of your sales might take a dip for a good long while, a few months, because they're experiencing this. It's not that they no longer like your product or service, but they're going through something. You can either choose to be there with them and keep them engaged with you the whole way, or you can ignore them and just watch your numbers drop. I strongly recommend A/B testing. I strongly recommend being receptive. Take suggestions. You know, listen to people's suggestions and ideas and whatnot. And that, even in and of itself, is a great way to make people feel included and valued. You know, that symptom of fear of social rejection. Well, having your boss come up to you and say, hey, I'd like to, you know, listen to your idea, or I think that was a great idea. That's a huge boost. You know, that person is not going to call out sick that week.
Another thing I wanted to add, and I feel like I'm hijacking the
podcast. No, no, you're great on the stats. I love it.
Oh, thank you, because I'm Optimus Prime. But another thing is, this actually worked for a company. I'm not going to name names, and, you know, obviously out of respect for this company. They were actually going through an issue where a lot of the employees... You know, there's always a rhyme to reason. You're not going to work to make friends. You're going to work to make an income. You're going to work to grow yourself and be productive. And this manager and I, he and I talked about a couple of years back, and he said to me, Mike, I don't know what to do. My employees hate each other. We can't even sit in a conference room without somebody rolling their eyes at somebody else. And I said, sit down. Take 5 minutes aside, 10 minutes aside. Sit with each individual person. And, you know, excuse my language, you know, make it into a bitch session where they bitch about everything from other people to what they feel is right and wrong. Don't criticize, don't judge, and don't ostracize, and just take notes and then sit. And then he sat down, he talked to all 12 of his staff members, and it turned out it was such small things where person A was mad at person B because the way they turned their eyes, not realizing person B was nearsighted. So, you know, when they finally realized, wait a minute, he hates her because she thinks that he thinks she's rolling her eyes at him, where it's not her rolling her eyes at him. It's just that he's near, you know, she's nearsighted. And when they both, when they brought this to each other's attention, they're like, oh, okay, well, I assume things. And you know how, what happens when you assume things. This helps a lot with tension in the office because this, you know, with seasonal change and winter blues, people get more defensive. People get very offensive.
Yes.
All of a sudden, someone that loves Christmas and says Merry Christmas in the office, somebody will just use that subconsciously as an excuse, as a trigger state, to say, well, I don't like that person saying Merry Christmas. And I'm sorry, we live too much of the PC world now.
Yeah.
And
good wishes are good wishes.
Yes, good wishes are good wishes. And, you know, just be grateful to someone's wishing you a good wish versus cussing you out. And trust me, if you met my ex-wife, you would know what it is. But
I'm glad you brought that up. Not the ex-wife part, but about the offices. Because I remember on the last podcast and the one before that, I mentioned that sometimes, you know, when determining whether your marketing provider is legit, it's not a case of an outsourced provider. It could be your in-house team seeming stale. On several occasions, when I've gone into a company for a 1 or 2 day boot camp to totally give a shot in the arm to, you know, the marketing team or the social media team, a lot of times it's because of things like that. It's because there's not that team feel. It's like lone wolf syndrome. And I find that maybe 60 or 70% of it is about marketing, innovation, and getting them up to speed on best practices. But 30 to 40% of it is actually getting people to chill out, to embrace each other as coworkers, because like Mike said, you know, you are there to make an income, But at the same time, a lot of people do spend more hours, just technically speaking, at the office than they do with their family and friends. So, yes, it is critical for your teams to run smoothly and optimally to make sure that there's a healthy work dynamic there. And mirror all of this in your marketing strategy that is outward. I know we're getting up there in time, so I want to mention one great way that you can get first mover advantage this year is, first of all, you should be working on your holiday strategy now. Do not wait until October, November to say, oh, we really need some great ideas for the holidays. No, you need to be working on those now. But in tandem with that, stop following the convention, the mold, the stereotype that everyone in this country has, a two-person head of household with 2.5 kids, a dog, a white picket fence. The fact is, we have more people now celebrating the holidays, no matter which holidays they are, alone than ever before in history. There are people who are going to the diner by themselves. We've talked to a lot of store employees, who deliberately request to work on the holidays because they don't have any family or friends. So work that into your marketing, because that picture of the big family around a big dining room table, it may not resonate with 70% of your target customer base. And so that's not going to be a very effective campaign. Start maybe celebrating individuality. Start celebrating winter as a time to reinvent yourself and to start getting ready for a new year. New year, new you. So, that's, I can't say that strongly enough, because it's 2017 and in the United States, we still treat the holidays as if all people who aren't in the typical nuclear family don't exist, when in fact now they're almost becoming the majority. So start catering to those people, start marketing to them, and put yourself in their perspective and think, well, what would resonate with me if I didn't have a family to visit, or wasn't going to a big crowded event for Thanksgiving or for Christmas? I think you'll be very happy with the results. And again, that applies to in the office as well. A lot of your employees are not going to be getting on planes, trains, and other ways of going to visit family and friends. They might be staying local. Maybe you want to set up a little event, something other than the usual holiday party. Maybe set up something a little bit special for those who aren't going somewhere to be with people over the holidays. I think the appreciation that you'll see out of that, and if you can do that with your customers, that would be great. Not everyone is in a position to do that. For instance, if you work in a restaurant, adding a bring your pet to work day is not going to be a good idea. Mike, are you kissing the microphone, or is Optimus Prime just realigning his gears?
Just realigning the gears.
Okay.
Again, Camille, well said about the points you were making, especially for restaurant and, for hospitality and so forth. You may not have that luxury of, bring your pet to work or so forth.
Sanitary laws.
Exactly. I can't even say that word today. But having small things such as like how we talked about earlier, bringing cupcakes or having pizza, mm-hmm. or even just, having, someone like the TGI Fridays, where they wear special buttons and stuff, or just doing something small, you will be surprised how well that resonates with the employees. And you don't choose it. Let your employees help you choose what they want to do as well as what you want them to do.
And guess what? When you have a customer or a client reach out to your organization and they reach an employee who is genuinely happy, it makes a 180-degree difference in that customer's experience or that client's experience. So it really pays off. These, you know, there are so many low cost, low effort things that you can do, and the payoff, you know, both internally and outwardly in your marketing are huge. So folks, you're dealing with the sads and the winter blues of autumn, which in the UK, by the way, is up to 1 out of 3. You know, it's, weather's kind of dreary over there, but that's 1 out of 3. So imagine if you're not incorporating that into your strategy, you're making a huge mistake. And the holidays, you know, be a front runner, get first mover advantage, and start celebrating the individuals and give them a reason to be happy about the holidays, and they will love your brand because of it. So that is my two cents, you know, for Labor Day weekend and your strategy for the next 2 quarters. I think that gives you a lot to chew on. Optimus, would you like to add anything?
Again, guys, you know, let us know what you think. We love the comments and replies back. You know,
yeah, give ideas.
Yeah, give ideas. Like, what you guys do in the office? What do you do for during the winter time or during what we call the winter rush, which is from the day after Thanksgiving to Christmas, you know, the day after Christmas, or for some, you know, week of rest, you know, between Christmas, you know, Christmas and New Year's. Use the hashtag AskCamille as always. Again, you know, keep this in mind, guys. This is something that is happening more and more, especially with our society, you know, and the last thing you need is to go into crunch mode and have your staff, you know, be at 50%.
Yeah. Absolutely. And remember, this isn't just about, you're not catering to only 20% who's affected by this. These are things that make everybody happy. It's a rising tide that lifts all ships. So the payoff is huge. ROI.
Mm-hmm. So again, guys, use the hashtag AskCamille and hit Camille up if you have any questions or suggestions. You know, she's always open to talk to people. Always have a cup of coffee, as she loves coffee.
Very true. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you had a very safe and happy holiday weekend if you needed it. I hope you got plenty of rest. And get those strategies ready for the next 2 quarters. Make them the best they've ever been. Take care.